You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Broadcast the last of the year. It is Saturday, December 26th, the day after Christmas. The last show of the year. And I tell you, you know, since it's still less than 24 hours since the end of Christmas, I thought we could squeeze in one more night of that good music. What do you say, ladies and gentlemen? And that is exactly what we're going to do. Although it doesn't feel like the day after Christmas in Memphis, it was 77 degrees here this afternoon, and we had all the Christmas lights up at the house, and I was out there in shorts, and it was a pretty uncanny thing. By far the warmest Christmas, I guess, in the history of Memphis, Tennessee. But we've been overwhelmed by the Christmas spirit by all of our audience. You know, we've been talking about this throughout the month of December. When we do these fourth quarter, the fundraising drives, this is, of course, the fourth quarter fundraising drive, which wraps up on December 31st, just a couple of days from now. We like to start off the shows during those months of the fundraising drives by giving a little donor roll call. And once again, it's been pouring in. Listen to these cities, folks. We're going to do it one last time this month. Marietta, Georgia, Oklahoma City, Monroe, Georgia. This guy's donated twice this month. Valley, Alabama, St. Louis Park, Minnesota, Montvale, New Jersey, Ford City, Pennsylvania, Little Fork, Minnesota, Baldwin, New York, Roland, Arkansas, Parma, Ohio, the United Kingdom, British Columbia, Canada, Philadelphia, all over the local area, Millington, Bartlett, Memphis, Tennessee, Collierville. These are all communities of the greater Memphis metro area. Sonora, California, Abilene, Texas, Sarasota, Florida, Linden, Michigan, Troy, New York, on and on. I will tell you, folks, this has been the most enjoyable December I've had in terms of being a broadcaster. Look at all these Christmas cards, Keith, down there in the floor. And it's not just the Christmas cards that have been pouring in, although we did get one today from South Africa. A listener who lives in other parts of Europe who is in South Africa working right now sent us a card in, letting us know how it's go there. We've gotten a lot of Christmas cards, but more than that, we have gotten these picture cards of these beautiful families that make up our listening audience. We've also received, letters and emails from people sharing with us, you know, health concerns that they have, loved ones who are fighting an illness. I received a letter from the mail from a listener in Connecticut who started up a business and was just sharing with me about how his business is going. Keith, if we are ever going to prevail, it's going to take more than people who agree with us on the issues. It's going to take more than something as trivial as political beliefs. Or certainly not trivial, but it's going to take more than that. It's going to take people who are bound together by a love and a respect and a people who will fight for one another and defend each other. And that's what we have with our audience, and that's what we try to give them in return. And together, we have become a force to be reckoned with.
Well, happy day after
Hang on, you got to turn that mic on.
It's not on. Okay. Is it on now?
Let me check. Now it is.
Okay. Well, happy day after Christmas, everybody. I can't wait to look through all these Christmas cards. I just got in the studio a few minutes. But let me reiterate or amplify upon what James said. This is the time for action in our movement. If there was ever a time where the stars were aligned correctly for the growth of our movement and for a conservative counteroffensive against the forces of liberalism, this is it. We're going to make a challenge to the listeners out there. if you want to hear this radio program, not just on the internet, but if you would like to hear it on a terrestrial station in your locality, and you don't have one now, why don't you consider sponsoring this political cesspool in your locality? It will cost about $6,000 a year, $500 a month, to get us on a station in your locality. And I think that if we did that, particularly in places like New York and in Texas and in other large metropolitan areas in America, I think our program would grow by leaps and bounds and our message would get out. And quite frankly, what Donald Trump's candidacy is proving is that this type of message, which is the anathema of the politically correct left, is applauded and hungered for by middle America. So let's try to get on the ball, folks. Let's try to do something like this. I know all these radio evangelists and TV evangelists ask for these type of things. We are asking for it for the good cause of populism and conservatism, folks. Try to see if there's a way that you could find maybe a group of you together to put our show on a weekly basis on a terrestrial radio station in your locality.
In the meantime, with the operational cost as it is, we're very close to satisfying our needs for this quarter with a couple of days remaining. And it's, again, folks, what a Christmas, what a December for ourselves as the host of this program, and for you as well as our listening audience. There is just no more responsive group out there than those who make up the audience of the Political Cesspool. And let me tell you how tonight's show is going to go. So, as you know, we are here live tonight on the 26th of December, a very warm night in Memphis, 77 degrees. But we're here the day after Christmas, punching the clock for another 3 hours of work. And tonight, it's going to be another fun show, I guess you could say. We're going to be counting down the Political Cesspool's top 10 moments. This is the annual year-in-review show. So that's coming up a little later on in the third hour tonight. We're going to knock out the top 10 moments of 2015. It's our last show of the year, and we're going to start the fireworks a little bit early on the airwaves tonight. So the way tonight's show is going to go, the first hour we're going to cover some news, some contemporary topics. Second hour, Keith Alexander and I are going to break down the biggest news stories of 2015. Later on in the second hour, Scoop Stanton will come on with the top 10, in his opinion, of the political cesspool. And then Eddie and I are going to break down the official top 10 in the third hour. And, you know, I had such a good time this week, folks, going back, looking through our blog roll from January 1st, 2015, up through the current day, going back and looking at some of these stories that we've covered, looking at some of the triumphs and victories that the political cesspool has accumulated this year, and we're going to give you all the highlights tonight. Nothing but the hits tonight in the political cesspool the day after Christmas. Did you have a good Christmas, my friend?
I did. My son, my youngest son's having an even better one. I saw him off at the airport to head to Colorado for a skiing vacation.
He might actually get some Christmas-like weather instead of this
right, yeah,
monstrosity
like
that we've
said,
got here today.
I had to ditch my coat and just about ditch the jeans for shorts today.
I was wearing shorts earlier today outside. My goodness. I mean, how could you not? I was sweating. But nevertheless, I envy those who have true Christmas weather tonight, this day after Christmas. Stay tuned, everybody. Thanks again for everyone who sent in Christmas cards and letters and contributions so far this month. Again, folks, one word, overwhelming. We're just getting started tonight, though. Stay tuned. Much more to come in the political cesspool. Don't miss a minute of it.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Getting things kicked off tonight, I want to say one more thing. I was sharing this at the top of the first segment, the opening segment, just a couple of minutes ago. In addition to the people who've sent in these Christmas cards, as we've mentioned, and Keith has a mountain of mail here. He was sorting through them during the commercial break. And this is just the mail, Keith, that's come in since we went off the air last Saturday night. And it's just, it's a thick stack. But in addition to all the well wishes for the season, in addition to the people who wrote in about concerns in their own families, health concerns, things going on with work, people share this stuff with us, Keith, because we have fostered a sense of family. And for us to win, as I said just a moment ago, to repeat myself one more time, it's going to take more than just an agreement on political philosophies. It is going to take a love and respect and a willingness to fight and defend one another. And that's what we've forged with this audience. And on the topic of family, there were two people out there who went totally above and beyond. In addition to contributing to the show, which they both did, these two men, neither of whom I have ever met in my life, though they have been longtime listeners and loyal contributors, Bill in Philadelphia and Steve in Arizona, sent in gifts for my children. Now, these are men that I have never met before, listening members of the audience, sent in gifts for my children. Keith, that's something special. And, you know, it all happened very effortlessly. What we have done here, our personalities and the way they mesh with the personalities and the hearts of our audience is something that you can't fake. You can't try to make and manufacture artificially. It is just something that is or isn't.
Well, you know, it all blends in with our Christian faith, too. And we pray for you. And we get letters and phone calls about problems in your families. We actually do pray for you. And we want you to know that we are concerned about you not only as members of the movement, but as individuals with all the problems that individuals have nowadays. So just keep in mind that, like James said, we consider you part of our extended family. And that's the way that we are going to treat you, and hopefully you'll consider us part of yours.
It's reciprocated, certainly. And that's enough of that. I will say, though, that a lot of people out there seem to resonate with the community that we've built and continue to build. Denise, let me pull up her email. Denise is a listener from Minnesota. There it is. And she writes, "One thing I like about the political cesspool, you offer comic relief in this serious world we live in. We have a battle, that's for sure, but it's nice to laugh, listen to great music, and we feature Christmas music in December on this show, and take time to acknowledge our goodness and blessings." And that, I think, sums up what we had to say about that. Now, a little bit of news. The last presidential polls before the election, or rather before Christmas, the elections are coming up, though, especially in Iowa and New Hampshire, but the last presidential polls that were out a couple of days before Christmas, Donald Trump has a higher percentage than Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Ben Carson combined.
They're the three next candidates. They're the second, third, and fourth place finishers among the Republican candidates.
Well, that's absolutely right. And he continues. Somebody asked him, because, you know, he's supporting, I guess he's said some nice things about Putin, and Putin has said some nice things about him. He said, you know, what do you think about Putin killing journalists, which has, of course, never been proven. And they said, would you kill journalists? And Donald Trump kind of shook his hand, say, you know, shrugged his shoulders, of course, you know, being joking about that. He said, I wouldn't kill them, but I do hate them. They are lying, disgusting people. And I think that, again, is just so much. They are lying, disgusting people. Believe
they're liberals.
Me.
What can we say? That says it all in one word.
Well, and you know, of course, we maintain that we are true conservatives here in the political cesspool. We are paleo conservatives who aren't afraid to tell the truth about racial realities and Jewish power and influences. Our two bread and butter talking about race, hardcore issues about race, taboos. They say we're going to give you the truth about them, and we're going to tell you the hidden hand behind some of these things. And we
and
talk
you're not
going to
hear
that well.
Everywhere. In fact, you're not going to hear that hardly anywhere.
Well, you're not going to hear it anywhere on AM radio except for right here, and that's what sets us apart from everybody else in the mainstream media. But in this network, thank God for the support of this network making that possible. But I was tuning in. I was flipping through the dial the other day, a couple of days ago, and Glenn Beck was on. So I said, I'm going to listen. You know, I don't ever listen to Glenn Beck. I don't listen to Hannity or Limbaugh or any of these guys.
Well, Glenn Beck in particular is offensive because he apparently has snowed and buffaloed enough people into thinking that he is a voice of conservatism. He's not. He's a voice of the establishment elite.
I don't see how anybody could listen to him and truly believe that, because as God is my witness, strike me dead the day after Christmas, good Lord, if I am exaggerating or embellishing this in any bit. I only listened for about 5 to 10 minutes, and it was all I could stand. But I wanted to listen to it after he got going so I could talk about it tonight on the show. So he starts the show at the very beginning, and he's talking about how he has all of these millions of listeners, and out there in that audience, and Keith, I know what I'm about to say is going to trigger you, so let me finish before you jump in on this, because it's going to get you worked up. But he said, out of all the millions of people that are in my audience, there is another Abraham Lincoln, and there might be another Martin Luther King. Now, out of all of the people, true heroes he could have mentioned, he mentioned probably the two worst Americans that ever lived. Now, Martin Luther King, listen, he was just a fat, slovenly, greasy, white-hating zealot. That's all he was.
And he was also an exemplar of just about every carnal vice that a man could have.
He was a plagiarist. He was an adulterer.
He was a physical and sexual abuser of women. Need we go on?
Well, and it is fitting, though. It is actually quite fitting that he has his own holiday here in what America has become. But, you know, listen, he could speak. He played his part. But he was by no means anything to write home about. He was just an actor. The Jews controlled the civil rights. They orchestrated it. They organized it. He played their part. You know, it's well known by people who care to know the truth that Rosa Parks was, I think, the third or fourth pawn that they set up to play that role of getting on the bus and getting arrested. They had selected before her a couple of other women to participate.
Well, they'd
in
had
that
several
stunt.
Of them come about naturally, but of course they weren't from central casting where Rosa Parks was.
Right. The other ones too couldn't play the role of the, you know, tired little seamstress. Anyway, it was all staged and orchestrated. But Martin Luther King, you know, he was just a degenerate and nothing. But Abraham Lincoln was a world-class villain. I mean, a guy who was responsible for the deaths of 600,000 Americans. More Americans died in Lincoln's war against the South than did Americans die in World Wars One and Two, or World War One A and One B. You know, we don't support abortion here. We're a pro-life show. But would the world have been a better place if Lincoln's mother had miscarried, or Winston Churchill's, you know, mother?
Well, just think about
probably.
This. Let's think about this with Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was anti-Christian, even back then. He was a big government maven. He was not a friend of blacks. In fact, he proposed the Corwin Amendment be passed, which would have made slavery forever legal and inviolate in all states and territories where it was then legal and proper. So, all of this stuff about the Great Emancipator is a complete invention of today's left, or let's say the left of the past 70 years. It has no historical basis. In fact, one of his first inaugural State of the Union address in 1862 asked Congress for a $10 million grant in order to buy land either in sub-Saharan Africa or in Central America for relocating blacks from America into.
So, all that's true. That's not the point, though. I mean, all that. Listen, we're not here to convince
people. People need to know this about Abraham Lincoln.
Well,
Abraham Lincoln was a, you know, he just is not what he is made out to be.
The point isn't to convince people what King or Lincoln was or wasn't, although you're, of course, quite right, Keith, and historically accurate, as you always are. The point is, here you have this guy who is presented as and masquerades as a conservative Glenn Beck. He's totally against Donald Trump, but in the tank for people like Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln.
Who are heroes of the left.
Aren't you glad that
you have a voice
like the Political Cesspool, with yours truly, James Edwards and Keith Alexander, Eddie, and the rest of the staff, that gives you an authentic voice. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
We are calling all Christians to join the solemn cause to make America great again. Donald Trump has been called of God to lead our people away from the destructive course we have traveled for the last 50 years. It is important for all Christians to recognize God's hand in the future course of this nation and the vessels that he uses to accomplish his purposes. Galatians tells us that one who is taught the word must share it with the one who teaches. We must share the word with Donald Trump. We must influence Donald Trump. Please contribute to the Trump Super PAC. Let your influence be felt. Please call 212-391-1586. That's 212-391-1586. Or go to thedailytrump.org. That's thedailytrump.org. Have a blessed day. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people. But one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Played that last week, but we'll play that again, because I went to church on Christmas Eve night at 5 o'clock, and we sang just the classic Christmas carols, just the good stuff, and it was beautiful. It was a candlelight service, and I was there with my family, and I just had a great— I asked you about your Christmas a second ago. I had a great Christmas with my wife, my 5-year-old daughter, my 1-year-old son. Spent a lot of time with my parents and her parents. We're lucky enough that both sets of our parents are still alive and well, and my brother. And it was just a great— – it was all about family and all about Christ, which is what Christmas is all about. Now, Keith, you were going to say a final word. Again, the point of that segment wasn't to talk about King and Lincoln. I wouldn't want to sully our broadcast. But it was to talk about that Glenn Beck presented and pretends to be a— – presented as and pretends to be a—
but all of his heroes are heroes of the American left. And let me just— – epiphany came to me after last week's show, and or really the week before last, with the Jesse Lee Peterson interview that we did. We were talking about Black Lives Matter and the Black Lives Matter movement, and I started off the interview by asking Jesse if he agreed that basically the problem of the Black Lives Matter movement comes from the fact that black children are not raised to respect authority today, and he agreed wholeheartedly. But then I started to think about this since the broadcast of that interview, and I said, you know, who can blame these black kids? Because who are these black kids shown as their ultimate role model? Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King made his living and made his mark in the world primarily by disrespecting police authority and governmental authority. That's what he was all about. So consequently, if you were asking a black kid, who does he want to be like? Who is his role model in life? I'm sure that many of them today would say Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King had lots of money. He had all sorts of acclaim from the mainstream media. He had all the women, as we've mentioned before. So you want to be like Martin Luther King? How are you like Martin Luther King? You defy and disobey the police.
And maybe in an indirect way, Keith, I don't think they would necessarily answer with King, because even he was probably a little too square for them, a little too establishment. They would say their local gangbanger or some rapper who does emulate the life of King.
But then they all basically follow this pattern. They prove their bona fides and their manhood, black males in particular, by defying authority. They are taught that there's something righteous about defying authority, and it's very dangerous to defy police authority. My father told me that. He told me that if you get stopped by the police, smile every chance you get. You know, who in the world, what type of maniac would tell their children that there's something righteous about defying police authority?
Hey, was that Jesse Lee Peterson last week, or was that 2 weeks ago?
Maybe it was last week.
I don't remember. I think it
was 2 weeks ago.
Was it?
But
well, who did we have on last week? What did we do last week?
Maybe it was this last
week.
It
goes by too fast.
I don't know.
I think it was last week. Anyway, yeah, it was a good one whenever it was. All right, Keith, time is always scant here in the political cesspool. You've got a couple of news articles you brought in. We said we're going to cover some contemporary news stories this hour, and then in the second hour, we're going to look back. This is a year-in-review show. Everybody's doing their top 10 list. We're going to be looking back in the second hour at some of the biggest news stories we covered throughout the year. And then in the third hour, the top 10 moments of the political cesspool.
Well, I found a very hopeful article that I've handed to James to read, and I'll comment on it.
All right, here it comes. Is this Tennessee Black Caucus bemoans attack?
That's the Tennessee Black Caucus in the Tennessee state legislature. In other words, all the black members can have their own blacks-only group. Of course, if the whites tried to do that, it would be a major civil rights violation, and the Attorney General of the United States would probably lock down the legislature. But read that article.
Here it is. Members of the Tennessee Black Caucus of state legislators are condemning what they consider to be an attack on diversity programs in higher education by GOP lawmakers. Some conservative lawmakers have vowed to review funding for college diversity programming across the state following two recent controversial incidents at the University of Tennessee. The Knoxville University's Office of Diversity and Inclusion posted on the campus website suggestions about gender-neutral pronouns and inclusive holiday celebrations that have been criticized by conservatives. These posts were removed, but some Republican lawmakers have called for the General Assembly to defund the office and to review other diversity programs across the state. Black Caucus Chairwoman Brenda Gilmore of Nashville says the group strongly opposes these actions and any actions to reduce diversity efforts in Tennessee.
Well, all I can say is hallelujah. A new day has dawned. We've mentioned in the past that one of the results of Obama's election as president, both in 2008 and 2012, has been a serious reaction and backlash in lots of red states in America, like Tennessee. And the Tennessee state legislature, because of that backlash, is now overwhelmingly Republican, and they're beginning to start acting like real conservatives, unlike the Congress and like United States Senate that is a majority Republican but not very conservative, as this latest battle over the budget proved. Isn't this a marvelous development? This is something we need to build on. We've always said that the only sound that a liberal fears is the click of a closing purse. Shut off the money. Shut off the sinecures for these rabble-rousers who are trying to promote diversity by doing things like banning Christmas parties at state universities and otherwise attacking our traditions as a Western European nation and as a Christian people. This is what has been sorely needed for a long time, and I'm glad that somebody in the state legislature has enough sense to realize where the Achilles heel is of the left, and that's money.
On a national level or on a federal level, with the exception of Donald Trump, when you get to Congress, when you get to the Senate, when you get to the presidential level, there is truly no difference, very, very minimal, between Republicans and Democrats. But on state levels, especially in the South, states like Tennessee and Mississippi, though they aren't where we are in terms of our evolution, they're a little bit behind us. Well, they're a lot behind us. Okay, they're a lot behind us in terms of their willingness to speak
openly. This is truly red state America here in Tennessee.
Openly and honestly about racial realities and racial differences. They're light years behind us. But on some levels, they are much better than their contemporaries that are up in Washington. And in some ways, I do support and value the fact that Tennessee and states like Mississippi have conservative Republican governments.
And Tennessee. This was the Tennessee legislature. And see, this is a very hopeful sign. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I had a dream. You know, Martin Luther King had a dream. I had a dream. My dream was that Donald Trump was elected president and immediately fired all the liberals at NPR, National Public Radio, and television, and replaced him with people like James Edwards and myself so that we could have the broadcast. If we're going to have a government-supported broadcast media like NPR, well, it should be providing an alternative to the mainstream. Now it's an echo chamber of the mainstream. We need to have a truly conservative voice, and it could be NPR. Let's defund the present NPR, and even better yet, replace it with a true conservative populist voice like the one at the political cesspool.
I couldn't agree more. Now, but the only thing is, NPR would have to take our feed from Liberty News because I ain't leaving here. But well, as long as they agree to simulcast our show, we can do something.
Now, that article was from yesterday's Communist Appeal, the commercial appeal in Memphis. Here's another article. Of course, it's a little side line. The other one was. Now, read this latest one about what's going on down at Ole Miss, that former bastion of conservatism.
Founded by Confederate soldiers in the war between the states, all of the student body at the University of Mississippi, also known as Ole Miss, went, fought, and died for the South. But now any news coming from Ole Miss is going to be horrible, and I wish we could go to break before I had to read this because I know it's going to make me upset. Ole Miss gets grant for civil rights talks. Well, the headline alone makes me want to puke. The National Endowment for the Humanities has announced $3.6 million. You know, we try to raise $2,000 or $3,000 a quarter to keep on the air. How about $3.6 million in grants for... Well, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go right back to this story. I need to...
You need to calm down. Let's. I've got. It's like I've got to. I'm like the cut man in the corner. I've got to tend to James.
Not good.
So we'll back out for another round.
We'll find out. But listen, the second and third hours are going to be much more uplifting, including the top 10 moments of our broadcast year. You're not going to want to miss them or remember them. We'll do it.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph,
tell you what, I'm reeling like a merry-go-round.
Rudolph is probably getting some rest tonight after after the long haul that Rudolph had a couple of nights ago. He's probably getting a rest. No such luck for yours truly. You know, I get about 4 or 5 hours a night sleep during the regular year, you know, because of the work. You know, we've got a young son that still sleeps in our bedroom, and he's up at all hours of the night repeatedly. Well, on Christmas, it was even worse. Of course, you know, we had to get everything ready for Santa Claus, you know, bake the cookies and all that. So we were up late, and we went to bed late, you know, getting the room ready for Santa's arrival. And right, we were getting it ready for him. And so, of course, my daughter knew that when she woke up on Christmas morning, all of Santa's goodies would be downstairs. And we have a baby monitor in her room, so if she needs to wake up and go to the bathroom, we can go upstairs and get her and all of that. Well, she normally wakes up pretty early, and I never get any sleep. I'm either up late working on the show, or you know, my son's waking us up in the night, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, she's normally up by 7. Which is, you know, pretty. I've never slept past 7, at least in the last year, and I rarely go to bed before midnight. A lot of nights I don't go to bed before 2 a.m. Well, anyway, we were up late on Christmas Eve, and sure enough, at 6:11 a.m., I look over in the monitor, and I just see two eyeballs say, you know, "Daddy, I'm up. Daddy, I'm up. You know, did Santa come?" And so I don't think I've slept since that was yesterday morning at 6:11 a.m. Anyway, back to the news. Ole Miss gets grant for civil rights talk. The National Endowment for the Humanities has announced $3.6 million in grants for 21 community-based projects, including one at the University of Mississippi, that will bring together scholars, students, and others to discuss civil rights. You know, you'd think after 50 years, the novelty or the shine would have worn off this story. This organization, in a news release, says the university will receive $200,000. Okay, that would fund us for about, what, 5 years, 10 years?
50 years.
For a project that will include the collection of oral histories related to the civil rights movement. The information will be archived online for public use through the Mississippi Civil Rights Project. What a waste of taxpayer money.
Well, not
and it
only
is
that.
Taxpayer money. What a waste to hear more lies, more fairy tales.
Well, see, this is why the young
to
are
instill more
going
white guilt.
Towards leftism. That's because they know there's gold in them hills. They know that there's money just flying around here for sinecures. You can basically get a tape recorder, go out and corral some middle-aged to elderly black person, take an oral history, and no telling how much they're paying for all this baloney. They've got $3.6 million for this project. Wouldn't it be nice if Donald Trump were elected president and he had the chutzpah and the gumption to go in and start saying, "I want a conservative history of the civil rights movement, and I'm going to pay conservative youngsters and students money to go out and get oral histories from people like me and Eddie, who were there and can tell you what really happened in the civil rights movement."
Or people like we had on this program, Officer Drew Lackey, who wrote the book, Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. He was the guy photographed.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could be paid
printing Rosa
to
Parks.
Be a conservative for a change rather than punished financially? And wouldn't it be nice if the left were not paid? You would see all sorts of leftists basically evaporate like the morning dew. There would no longer be this great flood of leftists.
Well, that's true. If it was financially viable to be
a conservative,
a traditional conservative as we are, someone willing to tell the truth on race and other issues as our parents and grandparents
and Jewish involvement
did
in the civil rights movement, for example.
So many people would do it because it's the truth and it's really common sense. And the only reason people parrot these things is because they either hate whites or because it pays. Now, hey,
well,
listen,
it
neither
pays
of those
to
are
hate
excuses.
Whites, and there's a small cadre of leftists that are making tons of money.
Right. And
now,
neither
see,
of those are excuses.
This is, again, the only sound liberal fears is the click of a closing purse. Let's close that purse. We see now where the money is, what they do, how they reward liberals, how they basically entice young to become liberals. And they've even succeeded at a former bastion of conservatism like Ole Miss. Let's turn the tables on them, ladies and gentlemen. All we have to do is follow their strategies. And, you know, if we can gain control of the money in that apparatus, we will absolutely you know, revolutionize America and go back. And we're changing, rather than changing America as Obama wants to, we're going to change America back.
It could happen. Things are happening out there. The political cesspool has been so successful for 11 years in turning the dialogue. All of the media we've received. Now, us, it's not us alone that's beginning to turn the rudder. The Trump phenomenon has moved us forward decades into the future, perhaps. But at least it's brought out the fact that there are people out there that agree with us, and millions of them. But the big thing about Trump recently has been his support of Putin and Putin's support of Trump, or at least their exchange of niceties. We're going to play a clip for you right now. Brother Nathaniel Kapner, his latest video, and he was with us just a few weeks ago himself, how Vladimir Putin celebrates Christmas. Listen to this.
There's something magical about a Russian Christmas. With snow on the ground and winter on the breasts of the faithful, Russians enjoy their favorite holy day, the birth of our Savior in festive joy. One would think that Russia's head of state would appear at the Kremlin's cathedrals for this special day. Not this head of state, Vladimir Putin. For like our Savior born in the little town of Bethlehem, Putin chose a humble village in Voronezh to celebrate the day of Jesus' birth last Christmas. Except you become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, said Jesus to his disciples. Like a true disciple of Jesus Christ, Putin took his place, not with high officials, but with little children. By way of sad contrast, America's president doesn't give much credence to Christmas. Instead, Obama celebrates Hanukkah with Jews, the same people who crucified our Savior. And not with children did he celebrate, but with a high official, the President of Israel. Such is the state of affairs in our Judaized country. America has traded places with Russia. I grew up in the 50s and we went on Christmas break, while the Soviets went on winter break. Now it's the other way around. Whereas Russia was once atheist, it is now Christian. But America is now Jewish. Why else do we see a 40-foot Hanukkah menorah on the White House lawn every December, but not a nativity scene to be found? But every year, Putin appears on nationwide television wishing his fellow Russians a Merry Christmas. He's my Orthodox brother in Christ. And despite how the Jews have stolen Christmas from us, I'm hopeful. Yes, the Jews are waging a war on Christmas here in America. The Jewish-led ACLU threatens lawsuits against towns that put up Merry Christmas signs. But theirs is a losing battle. We've got the numbers, and we've got the Lord Jesus Christ.
And hopefully we'll have the leader with Donald Trump that will lead us out of this wilderness. I never thought when I was a child that Russia would be ruled by a Christian nationalist and America would be ruled by a Marxist globalist, but that's indeed the situation we have now, and I think we're on the cusp of change, folks. Hold your breath. Be sure you get out and vote.
Well, I'll tell you, it's encouraging. No matter what happens, folks, listen to this. Whether we are beginning to turn a corner or whether our ultimate victory is still decades away, perhaps not even in our lifetimes, I will tell you this. We'll face that future together. And at the end of a year, right as before we turn the corner and the calendar flips a page to a brand new year, it's a perfect time for reflection. And we will face the future together, whether it's good or hard or somewhere in between. We will face it together, and we will ultimately gain that victory together. So no matter what happens, you have to remember never to get too high, never to get too low. But I'll tell you this. Obviously, what's going on in Russia is very encouraging. What's going on in Europe with the rise of these nationalistic parties is very encouraging. What's going on here with Trump is very encouraging. The success, the continued success of our radio program is very encouraging. And there are other groups out there that are willing to tell the truth about race, about the Jewish question, that are prospering and we're working with them.
And just think about this, James.
It's all good news right now.
They talk about Donald Trump not being much of a Christian. You know, he says he gets a wafer in this and that. He's kind of like a Christian that maybe attends church on Christmas and on Easter. Probably a little bit more than that, but he's not, you know, a paragon of Christian fidelity and of faithfulness. But compared with the current resident of the White House, he may as well be St. Francis of Assisi.
You know, look, hey, listen, if my car breaks down, I want to take it to a non-believer who knows how to fix a car rather than a Christian who's never, you know, changed oil before. So, listen, I prefer Christians as my rulers. Donald Trump is very much, who knows who's a Christian except for you.
But we know who isn't, and that's a Barack Obama.
And God, nobody knows for sure. But I'll tell you this, Donald Trump is certainly a cultural Christian. He defends Christmas. He speaks. Listen, I think Christians would be very well treated under a Trump administration, much better than they've been treated by any other administration going back many, many, many years.
Yeah, Marco Rubio wants to open the borders, but he talks about how he goes to church every Wednesday night.
Well,
I'd rather have Trump.
He could stay in church and let the people like Trump rule.
It's not a matter of how many boxes on the evangelical lifestyle compendium you can check. It's a matter of who's going to transform America and who has the will and the courage to do it.
Got to be back, folks. Got to take a break. Stay tuned. The best 2 hours of the night show are still to come.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.